Boomer looking me back, living with my parents, aching an appearance as a guest in my high school band. Bored with myself and my predictable depression, same chord progressions, but my lyrics were better back then.
All right, this is Angie for Scripts. I'm Ryan Markowitz. The other co-host is Kyle Gandy, and for our very first episode of season two, we have a guest. It's Peter Nuttall. We get into a script called Little Swimmers. Involves masturbating, so if that is uncomfortable to you, turn off. We're going to keep using Walter, etc.'s music because I really enjoy it. And also, I'm too lazy to find another band to let me use their music. So, simplyscripts.com, thank you for not sponsoring us, and new season two.
Yeah, that was the moment where I was like,
this is stupid.
Yeah, the show is just kind of like the acting was really good, the production, the cinematography, I love the score and everything.
That's rarely the problem anymore though.
Yeah, that's true. It was just like
good writing is always going to be hard to come
by. So it's by the time that happened, I was like, well, Will's just gonna come back. Like, I already know this. So like they're not gonna do anything. They're not
it's
gonna
how, Kyle.
Yeah, and
have
how
you seen Rogue One? Knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, true. I know.
Hey, the
I
Death
know.
Star's couple of, come on, man. They got the plan. They got the plan for the Death Star. But they say in episode 4, a bunch of Bothans risk their lives to get the plans.
Yeah.
I ain't seen no Bothans in Rogue One. All right? Unless they're all disguised as Bothans. I'm just saying. It's like Mighty Ducks, D2 and D3. The top scorer in the Junior Goodwill Games somehow becomes a goalie for the third one on varsity, and no one notices it's the same guy. It's the same fucking actor. No one notices. Hey, you look familiar, man. Like, where'd your accent go? The flying V doesn't work because it's offsides. Also, like, you're clearly offsides when that happens.
Oh my god.
Well, I can't just jump out and rope people. Come on, it's silly.
Exactly.
It's just like, you know, I don't want to shit on it because it's a very childhood memory movie for me.
Yeah. Also, how did none of the Hawks from the first movie make the national team when they were clearly better than most of the Mighty Ducks?
Yeah.
I understand, like, the other part where they got, like, Luis Mendoza, the guy with, like, the rope, the female goalie and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but, like, you're telling me like Dean Portman is good enough to represent the national team?
Yeah. Like, fucking Goldberg's on the national team. Yeah, it's like, we could have really found some other people, right? Besides this youth team in Minnesota.
They picked up Kenan Thompson just off the street.
They pick up some guy street punk. Yeah. You know what? Hey, I totally think this guy is like, you know, this is a National League tournament, all right?
We're doing
like,
well, guys, but I don't think we're having fun. Like, oh, man.
But are we winning? Yeah, but are we having fun? No. Well, then we're not winning. Well, actually, you know, we are. And then they go to college, and they're on JV. It's like, I'm representing the national team.
Yeah, exactly.
I should be good enough to make varsity.
Yeah. Like, I understand why Banksy made varsity, but, like, I think Conway was good enough at that point, too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Luis Mendoza still has elite speed. You know,
yeah.
He's raw, but, you know, he's malleable.
Goldberg, fine. But Goldberg becomes a top-tier defenseman out of nowhere. Come on.
Yeah. Just all of it. It's,
all of a sudden,
yeah.
there's some major loopholes.
Oh, yeah.
There's Mike Tyson.
Huge plot holes for sure.
Yeah.
Well, even though we talked about it in another podcast that we did, this has been recording the whole time, by the way.
Oh,
okay. Wonderful.
A little sleight of hand trick there for you, Pete.
Alrighty, well.
So this is what I guess we're calling season two of M&G for Scripts, the search for viewers.
Okay.
and we're doing things differently. This week we are starting off a traditional show, but with a guest. That guest is Peter Nuttall.
Hey, how are you?
He's been mentioned in my write-ups of the episodes almost every week. And has
also been mentioned
to go off on Mighty Ducks in previous podcasts, which is why Kyle lost his shit when you brought up Mighty Ducks.
You know, so
you
again,
from the source.
Again, in life, it has delayed me in listening to the episodes. I did not know that going into this. I'll just like to put that on record, which makes it funnier probably for the viewers.
Biggest fan of the podcast. Hasn't listened to every episode yet. That's fine.
That explains it.
That's fine. I'm still a little salty.
That's what we want.
I'm still a little salty, man, so I got the first shout out.
He did get the first shout out.
Really?
Yeah.
But, you know, it'd be like that.
I'm pretty sure our mom got the first shout out. First episode, Kyle said he should call your mom.
Call your moms, yeah. Pete is also our beloved editor of our shorts, and
yes, that
is actually just got finished acting in one of our shorts today with maybe one of the best parts that wasn't even a part of the script that he just kind of improv and then he just rolled with it. He's a great talent.
Thank you.
Lucky.
I'm extremely honored that you would use those words, myself and talented, in the same. They don't really go together unless there's a non or un in front of them. So, excited to be on the pod. I'm excited to get to writing here. And let's just see what the script's going to be. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we got 12, which is an L. We go to simplyscripts.com.
Are we sticking with just the pure comedy, or are we doing? Do you want to get into any rom coms, or do you want to just keep it?
Let's do a short comedy.
Let's
for
just
this
do
one.
A short comedy. Yeah, we'll start. It would be really fun to go into some bad rom coms or some bad.
I know
some bad sci fi. Those are always
yeah,
fun too.
But that's down the road. We'll keep it traditional here. All right, this is the part I usually cut out. So else.
Yeah, it usually cuts this part out. This is usually where I go into my long discussion.
Hey, Mr. Bellamy's.
Oh, I thought it said Little Schwimmers, and it was based off of David Schwimmer having a big old family.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, I didn't know I was going to have all these kids.
We were on a break. I had another kid. We were on a break.
42.
Oh, wow.
It's 42. We randomly got L's, and then we randomly got 21, and the 21st script is Little Swimmers by Michael Turry. Short comedy, Chet Randall is on a mission to have his sperm count tested. Little did he realize what a tough mission it can be. All right, 2006. Yeah. Albuquerque, New Mexico.
You know, is it safe to put your address on here, like, for the whole internet to find?
Yeah,
like,
really.
That's a little suspicious.
Yeah, concerning.
But all right.
All right. No, yeah, we got.
Okay, we got a nurse.
Who wants to be the nurse? Who wants to be Chet?
There's a lot of description.
There's a ton of
a lot of it.
All right. Who wants to be voice?
I don't care.
At this point, maybe we could just have like two voice actors and then somebody else who just reads the action.
I'll read the action.
Okay. I can be the nurse if you want.
You
want
to be voice there, Pete?
Yeah, I can be boys. Sure.
Okay.
All right.
Little Swimmers by Michael Turry, March 7th, 2006. Fade in. An image of a scantily clad woman is on the screen. This image slowly dissolves into another sexy woman image. This process repeats itself and slowly builds up speed. There is hot music playing under this opening sequence. A woman's voice is slowly starting to fade up in the background.
Mr. Randall.
The images continue, but the voice grows louder.
Mr. Randall.
The images grind to a halt with the screeching tire sound effects. Interior doctor's waiting room. Extreme close-up of a pair of eyes. The eyes are closed, but suddenly blink wide open. They look side to side and straight ahead.
Mr. Randall, we're ready for you now.
Man sitting in a chair in the waiting room. He slowly puts down the magazine he was holding, rises from his chair, and walks across the room.
My name is Chet Randall. I'm 32 years old, married, and at a fraternity clinic. Do you have?
Close up with the countertop at the front desk.
A specimen
cup is slammed into the frame.
A full sperm mobility / semen analysis workup done.
Two shots of a nurse and Chet. Chet is grabbing the cup.
This will determine if you have enough little swimmers, if you know what I mean.
I wouldn't say semen.
I'm the nurse. That is your specimen cup, Mr. Randall. Now if you follow me to one of the rooms.
Chet and nurse head down the hall. Chet gingerly holds his cup and follows the nurse down a long hallway of doors.
I think this room might be open.
She grabs the door handle and opens the door. But before she gets it all the way open, a man peers from around the side of the door. He has a look of surprising embarrassment.
Oh, this room is occupied.
Sorry to interrupt.
She shuts the door and, with a bored look, motions for Chet to follow her. They continue their walk down the hall, past closed doors.
Here we go. This room is open.
She flings open the door and motions for Chet to step in. Chet is a little hesitant at first, then steps in. He is greeted to a Spartan, pale green, fluorescent lit room. There is a chair and a desk with a couple of drawers and a half-empty box of Kleenex on the top.
There are some magazines in the desk drawer. When you're done, be sure to put the lid back on tightly and bring your cup to the front desk.
Chet's face. Chet has a look of what the hell. The nurse starts to leave, and just before she shuts the door, she stops and looks back at Chet with her bored look.
We have people waiting.
The door slams behind her, and Chet goes over to lock it. It's one of those kind of locks that twist in the middle of the doorknob. He locks it, then checks the knob by turning the handle to see if it's locked. He repeats this procedure about 5 times. He then goes over to the desk and opens the top drawer. Sure enough, there are some magazines, some well-worn, crumpled page stuck together, 1970s porn mags. Chet pushes the drawer closed and foregoes looking in the other drawers. He hears footsteps coming down the hall, and he hurriedly goes back to the door to check to make sure the lock is secure. He looks at his watch.
Better get this done.
Sound effects of a car engine trying to turn over. Chet looks around the room, trying to formulate a plan. He goes over to the chair and sits. Then he stands. He faces the wall. He starts to undo his pants, but before he lets them down, he hears muffled voices coming from the room to his right. He shuffles a bit to his left, close up of his face. Chet closes his eyes tightly. Our sound effects continues. The sexy girl images from the beginning slowly start up, and they are interspersed with images of the door opening and people's feet coming down the hall. Chet opens one eye and looks to the side. He has kind of a grimace on his face. The images start to be more girls than distractions. The car sound effects is now that of an engine that is running. The images of the girls start to speed up in pacing. The engine picks up RPMs. Suddenly, there is a knock at the door.
You okay in there, Mr. Randall?
The image comes to a grinding halt, and the sound effect is that of a screeching tires and a coughing engine. His eyes open, and his grimace fades to a look of despair.
I'm fine. Just fine. Thanks. I'll be out in a minute.
He sighs, closes his eyes, and sets his grimace. Damn it. The car sound effect starts again. The images start slowly, and again are plagued by images of hands jiggling doorknobs and doors being kicked in. Slowly but surely, the sexy images start to dominate the sound effects, and the sound effects is that of an engine running at higher RPMs. Cut between the images and Chet's face as his face relaxes from the grimace to one of serenity. The images start to blur into one another, and the sound effects is being replaced by music. Finally, one image starts to become dominant, and the music crescendos, not unlike the 1812 overture. We see a shot of some old news footage of a mass of soldiers streaming out of bunkers onto a battlefield. His eyes slowly open and a very weak smile evolves. He places the cup on the desk, pulls up his pants. Chet exits the room, cupping hand in hand back to the front desk. He encounters the nurse leading another victim to one of the rooms. He gives a smug smile. He looks back over his shoulder to watch them go down the hall.
Poor bastard.
He suddenly is bumped by another nurse who is coming around the corner. In slow-mo, we see the cup fall from his hand and start heading toward the floor. Close up Chet's face. A look of horror. He starts to form the word no. Nurse's face. A look of, why don't you watch where you're going? Slow-mo shot of cup still falling. Close up of Chet's face. Wide shot with nurse and Chet as cup hits the floor. In slow-mo, Chet is reaching down to the falling cup. He is looking down at what would be the cup in his hand. He moves his look from the cup to the nurse. Continued.
Sorry, but there's no 5-second rule for that.
She turns and continues down the hall. Close up of Chet's face. Chet has a look of real despair. He glances down at his hands, then over to the front desk. Wide shot of Chet in front desk and front desk nurse.
Well, Mr. Randall.
She is flipping open a very large black book.
Let's see when we can reschedule you.
Cue of Chet's face. He slowly closes his eyes and sexy images start rolling as the nurse's voice is in the background.
We have a 9 a.m. next week or...
Fade to black. All right, that's Well, that's that.
Where's this man's Emmy?
Yeah.
Where's Sundance?
The cinematography award. Yeah. Because it's all about descriptions.
Yeah.
Which is not really a problem. It's more or less, it wasn't funny.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of our biggest quarrel with some of these scripts.
Comedies.
They're comedies.
It's like, at least like bad dramas are funny.
Yeah.
Or like bad comedies, it's like, oh man.
You poor thing.
Again, like this guy makes it seem like he's heading off to the war zone. Dude, you're just jerking off. Like, come on, man.
Which,
like, it can't be that
right. It can be funny.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. There's really, so we talk about having stakes a lot. And when we do these scripts, things have to have a reason for happening.
Okay.
He doesn't have to do this at all. Right, he doesn't have to jerk off in this cup. If you made the stakes like, I don't even know what it is, but like, oh, give him a real reason to jerk off, like his, like all you have to do is have his wife in the beginning be like, "It's not my fault we're not getting pregnant.
Yeah.
You go now," and like that is fine. You give him some stakes for it,
or if it was like, "Yeah, I'm about to get a vasectomy. This is like literally my last sperm."
Right.
So
that's even better.
It's my last
time
with sperm. Am I gonna make my last jerk off session amazing? Like I wanna make it the best.
Yeah.
The best it could ever be.
Again, I think this would be more funny and definitely more embarrassing for the person if it was David Schwimmer.
Yeah.
He's a celebrity, right? Like, I mean, like, yeah. The fact that it's actually David Schwimmer who's
starring in Little Swimmer.
David Schwimmer. Yeah.
Yeah, Santa's freak.
All right. Well, oh boy. Well, I mean, the description, albeit
let's talk about
very much like a giant dump in certain places. Not like it was poop or anything like that.
It was just
like
a lot.
There were like 8 lines, no paragraph breaks.
Right.
Just
it was tough to read
through it. Like,
it's like unnecessary. You didn't really need to paint the picture of what's in the cabinet. Like crusty old porn mags. Like, I guess like I didn't need to know they were sticky. I kind of like
you just have a little bit of flair about it.
Yeah.
And you go, and there's a drawer filled with exactly what you think is in there.
Yeah.
And then you kind of let it be whatever it's going to be.
And then, like, you could kind of, like, subvert the expectation. It's like, no, the pages stuck together. These are professionals in here.
Yeah.
Not their first rodeo. Not their first rodeo.
All right. Well, you want to decide what we want to do here? Do we want to take this story, redo the story? Do you want to just take the motive and turn that into something different? You want to do a sequel of when he comes back?
I say we just do a hard rewrite.
I think so too.
Really do it.
I'm down for whatever.
Yeah, we're doing a hard rewrite.
Right.
Okay. So let's game plan out then. What do you want to do? What do you want the story to be about?
I could be on board with him just going through his like last session with
Seaman. Last jerk session.
His last jerk session.
Yeah.
Well,
or I mean, I also like the idea that you had of like, well, it's not my fault I'm not getting pregnant.
But that makes it a little too serious in my opinion.
Or is it just a dark comedy then?
Yeah.
Obviously, then there's some pressure on this guy.
To jerk off. Well,
yeah.
As
much those swimmers as possible, you know.
I'm also thinking that. So I'm pretty sure after you get your vasectomy, you can still like jack off.
Probably.
You just don't have
firing
right?
Blanks.
Yeah. I think it's about him preserving. I think take his wife out of it because then you have to build a whole nother character.
Yeah.
I think it's he's going to get a vasectomy for some reason. And so he wants to have something just in case.
Yeah.
Right? That's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we build that right so that we make it so this is important to him?
I don't know. It could just be like, I guess, like the setup for it. Like he could just be like, he's in the room. He gets like completely naked. He puts down like a tarp of like tissues or something like that in case of like excess.
Yeah, he'll wring it out.
He like
he's been saving this up. He's been saving up.
He's like,
this is not going to be enough. Yeah.
All right.
So here's what I'd like to do then. So I liked how he, I like the idea of how he was talking about masturbating. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He like made it like a not masturbating thing.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't like, oh, sweat. It was like, oh, the car engine.
Yeah.
Then like the war thing, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't like it, but I like the idea of it.
Yeah.
So what I think we should do is start it by being like, and there I was, naked in a room. And just like, don't reveal that he's masturbating till the end.
That could be pretty cool.
Yeah, and do it that way.
That could work, yeah.
And like, put all these stakes on it, like, what is he doing? And then just be like, And then have a like sobering second shot of like, and as I left, and he's like, finally the door unlocks, and I'm free, and he's like, and I hand her my cup of semen. As like the final.
And he could also be like, and I just pulled out my phone and jerked off to porn because it's not the
80s. Yeah, I don't need the mags.
Yeah. Magazines.
Yeah.
Problem was, I didn't get their Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Yes, I'm using LTE. I'm
using my data for this. Yeah.
Not only am I giving my swimmers, it's my dad as well.
Yeah, exactly.
The sacrifices that were made today. All right. Yeah, let's get into it.
All right.
So is this more just going to be like this person's like voiceover or something like that? Or is it just him being like super extreme, like, so what are we trying to fake out? Are we trying to incept the idea that he's like being held against his will, like he's a prisoner of war or something like that?
We could
like,
take that route.
Yeah.
Or we could take he's in his own mind and he's having trouble jacking off, and we could go real far and have it like have his dick speak and have his like ball speak. And make it like a wartime thing. He's let with the balls are like, we're ready to go. And
think like Saving Private Ryan D-Day beach scene. As soon as like and like he's just sitting there, Captain, what do we do? Yeah.
Yeah, and he has his brain tug, and then he has his arm tug and his hand.
He's
like, I gotta do it. Yeah, and
yeah.
We could even have the balls and the dick be the enemy. And have his hand, arm, brain, and eyes be like the soldiers.
Oh,
you can get real creative with
that's
it that
funny.
Way.
That's funny. Yeah.
I like that. Well, yeah.
I like that too.
All right. So yeah, that's our editing. Kyle, would you like to explain what we did, where we started with the script, and where we went with it?
Yeah, wow.
Wow is right.
Yeah. Welcome to the disgusting labyrinth of the male brain and the process that goes through that that maze as you're trying to jerk off. So we raised the stakes in this somewhat. I think we would all collectively agree that so Chet, our main character, and that's somebody that we kept from the original script, is going in there to have his sperm frozen because in a week's time he's going to get a vasectomy. So he's kind of considering this one like his final hurrah, his last victory lap.
Let's not give him all the spoilers with our characters,
of our semen. Of his semen. So he's gotta make sure this triumphant masturbation session is perfect. It's the pinnacle of coming, you know?
Yeah.
And
it's the last hurrah.
Yeah. So in this one the last script was heavily action and very little dialogue, and it was more or less inside the mind and the head of like what the character is going through, Chet.
Right.
In this one, we personified different body parts and like their kind of like point of view on how this all kind of plays out. It's very,
you'll see.
Yeah.
You'll see. We'll talk about it after.
Yeah.
But the part that we took from Little Swimmers is the description of
making masturbating not just the description of the man masturbated and then he came.
Yep.
We just hyper-realistic, I guess. And he did that in his original script, so that's kind of what we're taking it
from,
right?
We just kind of made it really extreme. This was one, it's like, I don't think we're proud of, like, what it is, but what we did with it is something we're kind of prideful over,
yeah.
I would say.
All right, so who wants to play who? Oh, so man. The two biggest ones are Brian, Dave, Lefty.
I feel like
that's like those are the three big ones.
I feel like I could be Dave if you want, or either Dave
gotta
or
be,
Lefty.
So like someone's got to be. Dave and Willie have to be different characters.
Yeah, Dave and Willie have to be
Brian
different.
Lefty have
Dave,
to be different.
Willie, and.
Yeah. Here, you want to just write down the characters right there, like the dynamics and stuff like that.
Yes. I already have them written down.
What, like, what's a character you want to be first? You're the guest, so you get the first choice.
I mean, I'll be
because I'm fine with whoever I play.
I'll be Brian.
You'll be Brian.
Yeah,
cool,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
All right, we'll do a draft style, Kyle.
Yeah.
Go ahead, pick
me.
Yeah, we can't have Brian and Lefty or Dave be the same people.
Yeah.
And we can't have Lefty and Dave and Bob be the same person. No, yeah, we can.
I'll be Lefty. That'll be my choice.
Okay. Kyle is Lefty, so that makes me Dave. All right. And then we need Willie, Beans, Chet, and Bob.
I'll be Beans.
Is the Morty voice.
Yeah.
You got Willie, Chet, or Bob?
I'm going to be Bob.
I'm vetoing that. Actually, I'll let you be Bob.
Yeah, baby.
I'll be Chet.
I'll pick up the additional whatever.
The Willie?
Yeah, I'll pick up the Willie.
All right. In case we get confused, so I am.
I'll read the action too.
And
check down as action.
Yeah, it's fine. We got you. Is that
okay.
You can write yourself down? This pen is not working very well. Action. All right. This is. Let's start. All right.
Interior, blank room, day. Chet Randall, 34, nondescript, pale, sits in an empty room, completely naked, alone.
Ugh, there's no way this comes big enough. Right, Beans?
Brian, 34, hypersexual, hard-headed, a brain, is commanding his troops for one last ride.
You're Willie?
Huh? Oh, it's not the results, it's the process. I'm lusting for the final battle.
Willie, tough, small, impetuous, a penis, stands semi-erect, awaiting orders.
It doesn't really matter to me. I have so much in the tank. I just want to make my country proud.
Lefty, what are you doing?
Dave, 34, codependent, resilient, Brian's right-hand man, a literal right hand. Also, Beans, we didn't describe, he's a nutsack. hey man, it's all about Brian's doing. Lefty, 34, hippie, feeble, a left hand.
Put down the pen.
So, after 27 years of service, this is how you treat our seaman battalion? Dry rubs from Dave to missionary milk porn? You all make me sick. Beans, this is your call. Interracial stepsister gangbang. But I'm fine with whatever. Listen, I'm about to burst here. Nice.
What the hell, Beans? I'm embarrassed we share the same body.
Is everything all right in there?
Yeah.
Everything's fine.
Let's get her in here.
I second that. Clearly, Willie likes the idea.
How about some classic high-quality multi-cam amateur? You love that shit, Beans. That's some grade school, don't forget to clear your history type shit.
Simpler times. Less wrinkles.
I'm ready, boys.
Lefty, Lefty, start loading it up. Dave, get down there in the trenches with Willie.
You know, I've been sidelined for most of my career. I think I'm ready, buddy. Brian, Dave should definitely operate visuals in this one.
Wait a minute. You want a pinch hit in the biggest day of our lives? You gotta be kidding me. Dave, coil around Willie. That's an order.
Sir, yes, sir.
Nice having you back, buddy. Like old times. Dave and Bill shoot to kill.
I'm not here to stroke your ego. I'm here, Beans.
I'm here for Beans.
I'm here for Beans. How are you doing down there, buddy?
Oh, I painted a mental image of that nurse. I'm starting to turn blue.
Lefty furiously types away, searching through nurse porn. Gray supple anatomy. ER erection. Dongy Hauser. Studs. That's an all black Cassid Scrubs parody.
Parodies? Where's the art? Where's the passion?
There's no time for integrity.
Oh, it hurts. I can't see. Dave, Willie, what's the status down there?
I'm doing the best I can. I'm giving it all she's got. Irish twist, loose and tight grips, reverse grip, the stranger. Willie, goddammit, don't die on me.
Tell Beans. I should have been better to him in my youth. I don't know why we drifted apart.
Lefty, twist a nipple.
We're long past the casual nipple twist, Dave. We need an outside horse.
Guys, tell my family I love them. I'm going in.
Lefty, once you go in, there's no coming back.
What other choice do we got?
It's a suicide mission.
Lefty drops the phone, glares at the pen, wags his finger, then realizes his fate. Out emerges a second finger.
Lefty, no, goddammit! You're a retreat! That's an order!
Sorry to disappoint you again, Cap. This is for future generations. Our children! Beans, Dave, and Willie salute on as he passes by, going into uncharted territory. Lefty then seals his fate. Hey, Lefty buddy! What are you doing down here? Don't you usually bring some toilet paper back here or something? What? Why are you looking at me like that? Bob, 34, her suit, anal, a butthole. Lefty ignores Bob and plunges into the unknown. Hey, buddy, you're scaring me. How about you say something? Ah, Lefty, why? You haven't even trimmed your nails in weeks. Intense joy and release from everyone besides Bob. Cut to interior front desk doctor's office. So how'd everything go in there?
Good. Everything was fine. Same time next week for the vasectomy, right?
And fade out.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I will have to say is we gave it a good reading.
Yeah, I'd say we gave it a go.
We gave it a real go in the voice acting department. Oh, that was good. That was fucking good.
Wow. Oh man, I never thought I'd get so attached to a left hand.
What a hero. What a hero.
His sacrifice will not go.
Yeah.
Will not go without us. That will be remembered.
All right, I guess we do a little brief description, or not description, yeah. Reflection.
I want to commend Pete for really nailing it, because I guess we didn't really realize
start.
How many times that your voice characters were communicating with one another, and the fact that you just had to change your voice instantly and then change back
was fantastic.
Incredible.
Yeah. The morning voice is something that I've been able to
pretty good at that for a while.
Yeah, so that was kind of an easy one. The others, I mean, just everybody all around, just the dialogue between the multiple characters, I think we all hit on that really well. Just in general, it was the exact opposite of what the script initially was, which was kind of just a self problem,
yeah,
whatever the problem was.
But it's all description.
This was all action. Yeah, this brought the characters to life, and you kind of
literally,
yeah, literally brought the characters to life. You felt the energy and the pad, not passion's a weird word.
You're right.
Like the energy behind the problem and everything. And, it just is more interactive, I think.
Yeah. And it gives it a little bit more life to it because we literally put life to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of nice how it's weird because they're all just body parts. So they're not necessarily human. So we kind of gave them this surrounding collective like love, it shared love for Beans and all that he's done over the years. So yeah. It was all for Beans and like, yeah. his last hurrah. So it was all these different body parts that do go into masturbating that are all just yeah. collectively like, yes, this is for Beans.
They're all working together for a common goal.
Yeah, for, right. Yeah, one last mission.
Yeah, and you know? The I don't know if it would hold up by somebody who's just reading the script.
Yeah,
but the tension that we built with. With Brian being like, no, God damn it, Lefty, that's in order.
Yeah.
And like, and what part was it that...
The integration of Bob is pretty funny, too.
Yeah. Is when I went, Lefty, once you go in, there's no coming back. And you said, you cut me off and said, what other choice we got?
Yeah.
It's a suicide mission.
Yeah.
Like that, it just... built everything up, and then Brian, like, we didn't even want to read the descriptions, I could tell, because the voices were going so well that you just wanted to get right to Lefty. No, God damn it.
Yeah, the flow of it is just fantastic once you get into the back and forth between all the dialogue. And I get what, like, what Kyle was saying about this might be a little tough to follow when you're reading a screenplay. It's the exact opposite of what the other one was. You could read it and you could understand it,
you get what,
but it doesn't really transfer over to
being performed.
Film. Which this is almost the exact opposite. The performance would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Maybe a little tough for audiences to follow along.
Yeah.
A writer would have to be in the room.
Yes.
To be like, no, this is what we meant.
Yeah.
I think that's more or less just due to
I think that's what we're aiming for, right?
That is what we're aiming for, because with our time constraint, obviously if we're like going to put this on set, we're going to do a bunch of additional work to it.
Okay.
I thought it was funny.
Would be a fantastic table read. Honestly.
Yeah, it would.
So, you know, you give this script to all the actors and they run through it. I can't imagine they get through the first take without everybody just cracking up.
Yeah, you could do this animated.
Yeah.
This could be a channel 101. This would be quick, it'd be fast, and it wouldn't be terribly hard to master. Master, dude.
Yeah, like the whoever's drawing it too, I mean, all they would have is like, it's not like the hands need like to look great.
They look shitty, and just,
they just need,
this is the only scene that should look
you only need to like personify them in like some, I guess like personifying them in like a way that like they can react and kind of act as they're delivering their lines would be challenging, but that we could easily like suspend the disbelief of a just like giving them a face
or just a mouth
or a mouth
just
or
like
yeah
a mouth
yeah a mouth right here and then yeah or something like that or we could go animal style where it's just like we have just a frame on the right hand talking and there's no movement, so make the animator's job so much easier.
I think that would be even better, is you just like little movements when he talks. It'd be really interesting like this and be like, well, you know, No.
And this almost is like the perfect short to where it tells a wonderful story of a simple action very quickly.
Yeah.
So this, definitely something you guys.
Because if you go a minute for each page and the last page is literally two lines, it'd be about 4 minutes long.
Yep.
If you do it right.
Yeah.
And it would be so fun to voice act.
Yeah. And when it's performed too, there's like benefits of just reading it as a screenplay. Like the descriptions of like introducing characters is kind of funny.
It is.
You would lose that in the viewing because that's not something that would necessarily because they just cut to it and you'd immediately know like this is the brain. This is this is a pair of testicles. This is a penis. It's like
You would lose that, I guess.
Yeah. But I mean, at the same time,
I think that's still all right, though.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, it's, you get benefits from it when you read the screenplay. You're like, this is funny. This is a funny introduction or description of characters or something like that. But then when you actually see it performed, like,
it's about the flow of it.
It'd be the flow of it, and like, at least from what we've learned from voice acting, is like, if you just get us in a room, a little bit of booze in us, like, we'll make this so much better than it possibly could, especially when we're just. We're not doing it in like an ensemble way. We're just doing it just like, all right, run it again.
Yep.
Okay, that was good, but try this. All right, that was sweet. Now do this plus this, maybe inflect here, maybe a little pause here or something like that. Like, I don't know. This was nuts. This was a fun one.
Yeah, this was one that was interesting to me because I didn't know where it was going to go.
I didn't know either.
And I didn't necessarily love the idea of what we're going to do.
Yeah. But you came up with the idea, Marky, of just personifying different body parts. Whereas like when we were kind of starting, we were like, okay, like this guy's getting a vasectomy. So it's kind of like personal. Like this is his last job. But like, how do we make it like, where are we going? Where's
it was
going
to have to be emotional, realistically emotional. Yeah. And I don't think I do very well with realistically emotional.
Yeah, yeah. But we just kind of, I don't know, we go very, very, very like
silly
with it. And it's just kind of crude and rude, but it is.
And honestly, it's not that crude and rude.
No,
for what we're doing, it's relatively tame, right?
Yeah. Considering like they treat it as like a military operation.
Yeah.
That's a funny way to like interpret these characters and body parts as well. Like they're all just parts of a working machine.
Mm-hmm. Like they're a team, working. Essentially. Yeah, working towards a common goal.
Yep.
So
in the minor disputes and like taste of what they're gonna do is kind of funny too. The whole idea of like, I love the idea of like Lefty just putting out the idea like, oh, I could, you know, and then Brian's like, no, a pinch hitter in the biggest day of our life.
Are you kidding me?
And then like, disagreeing on like what kind of porn should really work out, and they just do kind of forget the idea that it is all for beans. It's all in beans, but beans is like, I don't care, man. It's been so long. I just need to come.
Yeah, we never said come or masturbate
or
anything like crude.
Yeah,
we didn't even we swore a couple times,
but it was more like, God damn it, man.
Yeah,
like it was for
emotion.
A good reason.
Yeah,
it was
the emotion.
Yeah. All right. Well, I like this one. Well, I did not think I would.
Yeah, I didn't think
I would either.
I
think that just shows how nice it is to have other
people
other
in the
room to ideas across. Because I mean, if you read, from my perspective, when we were reading the first script, I was in the same boat. I didn't know where we were going to go with this, what we were going to do, because it seemed like a little bit of a droll screenplay when we initially wrote it.
Couldn't agree
but
more.
Then, you know, we just are pinging ideas back at each other. We're all feeding off each other's energy off this.
Yeah.
And it became just like.
Yeah, it just started to grow. And then we started it. And then we realized, okay, we got something.
We got something here.
It is really nice having three people too, because
I love the three person concept better.
It's a good dynamic. Because, like,
I'm sick and tired
again,
of Kyle.
When we were starting, it was just like. The first like four lines or like five lines, I was like, where the hell do I go with this? And then after like finally like we got one good piece of dialogue or something, it was like, okay, I'm gonna just go in this direction, and then Marky or Pete could just be like, that I like that, but like here, let's take it even further in this direction this way.
Yeah,
like
the pen was the first idea that we were like, okay, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, but it's like let's wait on that. Let's sit on that. You know?
Yeah.
And we come up, then once we're talking about the sacrifice, it's like, well, maybe it should be self-sacrifice.
Yeah, it should just be with the finger.
Yeah, we had the pen, and then Pete's like, self-sacrifice finger. I was like,
that's
genius.
Yeah.
So it's just nice to ping ideas off people.
Yeah.
All right. Any other closing thoughts here? Gentlemen.
Well, you know, just thank you for having me on the podcast. Pleasure to be the first guest on. It's a real honor. You know, I mean, hopefully I'll be able to come back again for other pods. And
we'd love to have you. Because I like this.
Yeah. Excited to listen to it probably. I don't know. I don't like listening to my own voice, but
you will. All right. Any other closing things, Cal? Usually you have something.
I usually have something. I'm sorry for infiltrating East Town today. I know I'm a midtown dwarf I'm a schmuck. I don't know why. Dwarf, that was rude. I didn't know what I meant by that.
Kyle,
we can just edit
now
that.
I gotta go back and edit this thing.
It was
all PC.
Yeah.
We talked about masturbating, you stayed.
Yeah. I'm just a midtown clown and
don't try to come back.
But the East Town, the people in the East Town wall on watch were like, oh yeah, like, oh, that's cool. You got a mustache, dude. You're cool. Like, is this your crew? I'm like, yeah. This is it.
Oh, we're his crew now.
Oh, wow.
Honored to be part of your crew.
He was rocking those like those awesome little glasses. Ryan's got the fresh haircut, so it's just like, And he's got the socks. So they were like, okay, these guys are probably from this town. They were just, they just got back from work or something. They're like doing something artsy.
Yeah.
So they were like, yeah, you guys can come in. And, you know, I feel bad. I feel bad because
we're laying into a club we weren't supposed to be
in. Yeah, I don't belong in East Town, but you know,
nobody does.
No.
It's a scary environment too.
Yeah. Very clean environment, but very daunting.
Yeah. It is for sure. Final statements. I think we could just perfectly end on this. Maso, you're a nerd.
I can't really argue with that.
Alright, well, you got through the whole episode. That's better than I could say. I haven't even listened to it yet. I'm doing this outro before I even listen to the whole episode. So, hope it was good. Well, that is the start of season 2. Search for more viewers. Don't think we're going to accomplish that one, but thanks for being here. Thanks for listening to all of it. Make sure you go and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. And if you want it, send us your scripts, which we do have some sent in. We do plan on using. Please send those to mandgversescripts@gmail.com. Please send those in. Thank you for being here. And bye.